What's up, guys? Maddie Moore here with Let's Grow Podcast. As usual, we have the boss mans over here.
Hey, guys.
And myself. This is my second episode on the show. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, technically it's a third. But what happened?
Oh, yeah. Our audio decided to F with us. So that was good.
Yeah, we had a major audio issues. We took it as practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really good episode, but you know, we're going to make up for it today.
So now that things are starting to get back to normal with the coronavirus, people have vaccines, people are still traveling or have not stopped traveling, especially Californians.
Yeah. I feel like the minute we are able to get out of the U.S. again, they're going to Mexico. I mean, let's be honest, or anywhere else, Miami, where else are people going?
Miami, Mexico, in my case, Egypt, Turkey, but yeah. Well, that's not normal. But yeah, Tulum is a big spot that Americans are going to. It's like the new, it's basically, it's the Dubai of the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, I actually just went there. I've been twice. I've never been to Mexico before, but I'm kind of going stir crazy here, I'm not going to lie. So I went for Halloween. That was super fun. And then I actually got to go for New Year's as well with a group of friends. So that was really nice.
Yeah, and for people who don't know about Tulum, it was just a random city like a few years ago. I remember going there, like, oh, no.
Very small when it was.
And then all of a sudden, all this money started getting invested in Tulum. Clubs started going down there, restaurants, chefs, and now it's just a whole thing now.
Yeah, it's really grown. And you know what's funny is just going from October till New Year's, things are even changing. They repaved the roads down in the main downtown area where, like, basically all the beach clubs are, like, all the really nice restaurants, all that kind of fun stuff, the beaches. They dead ass redid the roads within that amount of time. That's crazy.
Yeah, whenever you have a lot of money, tourist money, the government comes in and says, okay, cartels, look, you can't be, this is a zone, the tourist zone. If you come in here, if you kill anyone, if you mess with them, we're going to come after you. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like an agreement because Cancun has the same thing. And you know when you leave the zone, the tourist zone, because everything looks different.
It's scary.
So it's literally an agreement they have with the cartels. Don't mess with our tourists. That's our money. If you do, we're going to come after you. You know, we're going to find out who you are, blah, blah, blah. And in turn, they don't mess with them as much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny because I didn't know that. So my good friend John actually just started a traveling destination company to Tulum. That's the two reasons I went. He was like, do you guys want to come? I have meetings and like we can all go out and have fun, me and a few friends. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've never been. Good to go with someone who knows. And there was actually a sign, like it was like a stop sign or something downtown. And it literally had the cartel sign written on it. Because yeah. They were like, this area is like watched by. Like, obviously, I've never heard of any violent stuff going on there. Until, actually, I went for New Year's. And there was, right before we got there, there had been a shooting at Vagalum. Have you even been there, have you?
No, I refuse, but to travel, to me, is to actually go on an adventure. Yeah. If I travel and I'm just going to party. Like, my job for so long was just to party. So when I would go on vacation, I would go party, and I would come back more tired than I was when I went. And I would fly in on, like, a Friday morning and have to go out Friday night again. It was horrible. So
you're trying to, like, actually take a break when you go travel.
Yeah. You know, it stems from when I backpacked the world for, like, 4 years before I moved to, you know, Hollywood. And I would go to just, you know, India, live in India for a while, Thailand, like, Vietnam, Dubai, everywhere. And to me, it was an adventure. It was before I was in nightlife. I was just a regular guy who wanted to experience the world. And I've partied so much. Like, if I go somewhere, I don't want to party. I don't know if that makes sense. And to most people, it doesn't register.
Especially because we're getting older. Like, I definitely have done a million Vegas trips just to party and, like, run away and then come home and I'm back to work. But for the most part, if I'm going somewhere like Tulum, that is one thing. I think you would like it because you don't have to go to the beach clubs. You can just go to the restaurants, chill on the beach. All the jungle-y stuff, that was super fun. We went to, have you heard of, they're called cenotes. Have you heard of that before?
Oh, yeah.
So we went to one of those and, like, actually, like, swam in it and, like, did adventurous shit.
Those are really cool. Yeah. I like nature. I like traveling, exploring stuff. But I tend to go to like third world countries because you feel a lot more free. You can do whatever you want. I remember one time I was in Cambodia. And for a week, I just wanted to carry around a machete, see what would happen. I bought a machete, carried it in my waist for a week. No one said, and no one cared. Like, they didn't care. You just feel like a sense of freedom. Here you do that. The cops will, you know.
Rules.
Yeah. But it's different. But speaking of little adventures.
Yeah, you're going on one. Tell us about
it. Yeah, actually. So I've decided to, I had a slight tear in my Achilles. I didn't pop it. I didn't rupture it. I have a slight tear in it. Since New Year's Eve, I spent like a month not walking. And that always gets to me. Like, whenever I can't walk or I'm immobile, I get antsy. The last time this happened, I broke my leg twice in succession, 4 months no walking. I tried to go climb a volcano in Nicaragua, and that's where I got lost. Okay. This time, I decided just ride a bike. And since I've already done America, I was going to do California, but then I looked and I didn't realize how long California is. So long. It's the same distance as going from Los Angeles to Amarillo, Texas. And
that's
I've done that.
Crazy. When you showed that like actual picture, you'll have to maybe put it on this podcast so they can actually see how far it is. I was mind blown. Like, I knew California was long, but damn.
Yeah. Even me, I didn't even understand how long it was, like how just long. It's over 1,000 miles. From north to south. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be on the road for like another 15 days, 13 days. I have stuff to do. You know, I have my the stock group, X Stock Strategy. I live stream. These guys rely on me, so I can't just be gone. So I decided to do Seattle to Portland.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, going to be absolutely beautiful. It'll take me about 4 or 5 days. But I don't need any kind of support. Like, I could just go by myself. I'm going to take very, very minimal stuff. Because when we went on the bike across America, we took so much stuff. Half of it I didn't even use. All I'm taking is like 2 pairs of like riding clothes. Yes, I'm going to wear one for 2 days or like, one and one, whatever. A pair of sandals, not even shoes. Just put it in my backpack. Some water and
snacks.
A charger.
Snacks?
And snacks. Yeah, I'm going to eat wherever. You know that, and that's literally it. That's it.
Isn't it interesting how after doing that trip, you like, you know, kind of like what you need to do to
be able to be okay.
Like if you put me on a bike, I'd be like, I don't even know what to pack besides water and obviously snacks. Like, but I wouldn't know how much to bring. I wouldn't know. I would need your help.
Yeah, that's the hardest part is planning because you just don't know. You take everything and you don't use 3/4 of it. It's just there. Like, I had so much food. It took so much stuff I didn't need. Now I know you just need your cell phone, your bike, extra inner tubes, and water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pretty much you can find food when you're on the road, unless you're going through some places where there's nothing. Like, sometimes in New Mexico, you go 200 miles.
For a long time. 200 miles driving through there, and I was like, thank God I have gas, because sometimes you can't stop anywhere.
Yeah. So I started practicing. This is my second day of training, because when I got back, I've only ridden my bike like 5 times since I got back from that trip. Wow. I overdid it. It's like, imagine you eat McDonald's every single day for 30 days. You don't want to eat McDonald's anymore.
Never. Again.
Same thing.
I would never do it.
Yeah.
I just got food poisoning from there. So that's kind of how I feel right now.
Oh, I remember that.
That was a good time.
That was fun. So I started training, and there's something some things I did notice. I can't stand up and pedal on my bike because my Achilles is not ready for that. And that's huge because when you're going up a big hill, you're tired, you stand up, and you pedal, right? You have more weight to push down on the pedal. It creates more like potential energy. But I don't have that. If you're sitting down trying to climb a mountain, sitting down, it is hard.
I can't imagine.
Because it's all leg and it's all thigh and hamstring. You're not using your body weight to like move. Notice that. And I noticed how fun it is to bike ride. It is fun. You gotta go with me sometime.
Yeah, bike riding. I mean, I actually like bike riding, to be honest with you. I don't know if I can do as cool of endurance vibes as you, but definitely down.
Yeah, it's very, very liberating, very free. And here's one thing that I think a lot. you can't be on your phone or any social media, so you're forced to just think deeply about things. And that was one of the best parts of going across the country is like you think about some stuff that you would never have the focus to think about. Because think about right now, like for people who are watching this at home, they're watching this or listening to this on a podcast, but they're also doing probably 10 other things. If you have a tab open, on this is you probably have 10 more tabs. You're probably looking at your phone. You're probably thinking what we're gonna do tonight. We're gonna eat. Like our minds, our attention is taken up by so many different things. So it's hard for us to really critically think about something. And I think that's something that we've lost as humanity. Like we can't. I mean, imagine the philosophers. They were thinking about the stars when they didn't. There was no science. Like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They were thinking about the moon and trying to calculate the distance without having any kind of computers. Now we don't do that. Now we're too busy. We just Google it.
We rely on technology now, so it makes our thinking power how much less? It's actually really sad.
It's really sad because critical thinking is something you need to survive, like more than anything else in business, in relationships. Like, how am I going to solve this problem? Well, let me use, we don't even know, we use probability all the time. Like, what's stopping you from jumping out my window right now? The probability that you're going to die 100%. So you don't do that thing.
Yeah, that's far. I wouldn't want to do that.
But, you know, you
But
drink,
we have to.
you drink water so you don't
So we
die.
survive,
Yeah. Like, everything that we do is to survive. It's really funny. If you think about everything you do, why do women put on makeup? To look more attractive to the opposite sex to procreate babies so that their DNA survives. Why do we have social environments? So for safety. Why do we live in houses? Because it's you can survive better than living on the street. It's crazy.
That's crazy. It's all about like money and surviving because you need both to survive.
Yeah, money's only to survive. Money is to collect more resources.
It makes me sick.
The more money you have, the more resources you can have, so you can store it away. So you don't have to be going and finding food or finding resources. You can put it in a bank, and you always have the ability to buy resources to survive for you and your family.
So interesting. Always making me think on here. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Even like leaving stuff to our kids, money and like why do parents, why biologically speaking, would we want to leave stuff to the future?
Just to
So
help
our
other people be able to survive better or
yeah,
easier.
so our children survive. And then I was thinking, I got really deep about this. Like, there are people who live for themselves, right? Like you say, like you know those people who just live for themselves, right? They don't care about anyone else, just themselves.
Like one of my aunts, I mean, she just didn't really want to get married, kind of her own vibe, and like that's fine, but that's just it's different, you know.
Like for instance, artists, like a musical artist. There are some who are all about the people, and some like let's say I'm a rapper and I'm like, you know, screw you, I'm gonna get money, I'm the shit, like I'm. And then I was thinking about who are the most famous people in history that are till this day, no matter how hundreds of
Celebrated.
years, are celebrated and recognized and remembered and taught about. It's people who help other people. Abraham Lincoln, he helped free the slaves. Elon Musk is going to be remembered for the rest of human history.
Forever.
Forever.
Yep.
Because he's helping humans get to another planet. Like George Washington, he helped found this nation. Like Benjamin Franklin, he made electricity, or he discovered how to generate. It's people who are self-serving, like you don't remember them. This, I mean, you really don't.
It's not actually like taught. It's crazy.
Yeah. So if you want to be remembered, the best way is to help people so that we should think about what's the most important thing that we can do as humans. It's not to just help ourselves, it's to help other people.
Well, and I truly think that's one of the reasons I'm here. We talked about this in the last episode, kind of like what is your purpose? And everyone has different purposes. Like as a nutritionist, that's one reason I got my certification, so I can really help people and not just guess.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's why I also got my certificate. Actually,
He
no.
was jealous. He was like, I want to help as much as Maddie. And I was like, I get it.
No, I just got mine just so I can pull the card out in conversations when people try to like, I don't know, like, you know, let's say I say, oh, this protein's really good for you. And someone contradicts me.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, I'm like, well, actually, I'm a certified nutritionist. You pull out the card. They say, you know, they give you that little card. You just pull it out. Don't even say anything. Well, actually, and just put the card out there and they look at it and it says certified nutritionist. Like, oh, damn it. That's the only reason I got it.
I should have done my research.
But practicing nutritionist, doing what you do, obviously you know a lot more. Like, I know the book stuff, but you know the real life stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's always an ever-growing thing. You know, everything changes, technology, all that fun stuff. But once you start applying it, it gets easier too.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's some stuff that I remember I learned and I forgot already.
Oh, no, I need to go back and, like, reread because there's so much information about the body and it's just... I remember when I was reading and I was so overwhelmed. I'm like, I already know some of this stuff, but then the back end stuff is why it happens. You're like, oh, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. You know, I was talking, this and nothing to do, actually kind of something to do with what we were talking about. When I was talking to my friend, she's a PhD researcher, bioengineer, and just insane stuff. She researches proteins. So right now, she's trying to find a cure to Alzheimer's by identifying proteens that she can single out and then modify them. It's just insanity. That's so
absolutely insane.
Yeah, like the stuff she does is crazy. And so she deals with protein, like every single day. That's her thing. She's a protein specialist.
Wow.
And I'm just laughing, like thinking about how many jokes like as well. I'm a protein specialist, just a different kind of protein. You whey protein and you isolate animal protein or algae proteins. But protein is everything.
Yep. I mean, it's essential. I mean, that's one of the easiest tips that I always give my clients is eat protein at every single meal. You're not finishing your day if you're just eating veggies. You can't. Whether you're you know, vegan or not, you need to be having protein. It's as simple as that. Make it, like, break it down for people who don't really understand nutrition. Protein, veggies or greens or something, and then carbs are tricky. Carbs and fats depends on your diet, but those are the basic three things.
You know, there is a on Joe Rogan had Robert Oberst on. He's a big strong man. And there was this guy named Adam something, or I forget his name. He's like a strong man. He's not a big guy, but they made a movie. You might have seen it. It was very popular on Netflix. It was about being all vegan, just eating plants, like not eating meat anymore. And talking about, like, you can still be strong if you're a vegetarian. So there's a strong man on there, and he said, I'm the strongest person in the world. And Joe Rogan's asking this guy, he's like, hey, what about this guy? He's like, dude, that guy's not even a pro. He's not even a professional. He goes, we all eat the same crap. He goes, how many strongmen do you know that are just vegetarian? None. He goes, we all eat just rice, meat, like bison meat, carrots.
Bison's good.
And that's all they eat. So it just goes to show, like, you need, like, I mean, you can obviously survive by just eating plants.
Yeah.
But if you're going to compete to be a strongman, it does not work. I know a lot of people, I mean, there are some athletes that are all vegetarian, but some of it has to do with their genetics. It's just, like, super genetic freaks.
It's so interesting. And it's really hard, you know, to be, vegan, even eating proteins, because you have to make sure you're eating the right amount without eating too much fats or carbs. And that's what a lot of my clients that are vegan, they have problems with, because they're like, well, I'm eating really high in fats, though, because I'm eating tofu or... what's the fake, like, beef called? Oh my gosh, why am I...
Beyond Meat?
It starts with the T. I'll have to think of it. I'll post it in the comments. It's really good. It's like the texture and the simplicity of it literally is like steak or like beef.
Speaking of Beyond Meat, their stock is like $150 almost right now.
Wow.
Beyond Meat. Insane run.
For one
share of their stock. Crazy. They signed a partnership with Pepsi, huge partnership with Pepsi.
That would have been a good stock to have bought.
Oh yeah.
If I was in that vibe, I would have been like, it's gonna be a good one.
Well, you know, a lot of people made fun of it. Like, they literally made fun of it, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, what? And then now they have partnerships with everybody. Burger King, Pepsi, trendy. Everything.
I haven't had one, have you? I want to try it because I'm open to, like, experimenting.
Yeah. It's good? Really good.
Does it fool you, or you can tell?
You can tell, but it's not like It's like, because think about it, you've eaten meat all your life, so your body has it, and it's not perfect.
Damn. But it's good.
Yeah. And in the future, I mean, we're all going to be eating plants. Right. We don't have enough people. The population keeps growing. We don't have enough animals to... Sad. Yeah. The amount of work it takes just to feed an animal, to put it on your plate. I always say this. For an animal to be on your plate, if you'd have a hamburger, think about how many processes there has to be in that chain. Yeah. So you have to have something be born. Like, you have to create something.
Stop.
You have to grow food to feed it. You have to grow food, harvest it, like grains and corn, harvest that, feed it to the animal. The animal needs space. The animal needs a 3D space to live, right? It has height, and it has width, and it has like, well, that's just 2D basically. Yeah. Yeah, you exist in 2D, but you always exist one dimension on top of what you actually exist. So we exist in 3D, but we can only perceive in 2D.
Yeah.
The third dimension, which is distance, we can't see distance, so our brain calculates it for us.
Yeah.
It's insane. Anyway, you have to build. You have to make an animal, feed it,
kill it,
grow it, kill it, cut it up, freeze it, transport it, unfreeze it, cook it, cut it, and put it on your plate.
A lot. I try to not think about it because it makes me kind of sad.
Compared to plants.
Plants you just grow.
You water it, you cut it, and you transport it and put it on a plate.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
To think if, what if we didn't have food? That would be a really sad life, though.
Well,
I love eating.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I refuse to pay like $18 for a salad at a restaurant.
Right. You're like, this may maybe $2 to make.
Yeah. I think about the big Costco bag of like spinach or, you know, like the mixed greens.
Yeah.
And I think about the ounces of meat that is on the platter.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like 2 ounces of chicken, which you can get for like $1.50. Why am I paying $20 for it? Or my favorite is when they have a salad for $18, and if you want to add meat, it's like $6 extra. I'm like, come on, you can't market.
Oh my god, like all of LA.
Yeah.
I like can't. I really, really, really try to eat at home unless it's like to enjoy myself at this rate, because LA is twice as expensive.
Well, especially being a nutritionist, I'm sure you don't know how something is cooked if you buy it at a restaurant. What butters or oils or fats? If you're on a diet, you can't do that.
Yeah,
impossible.
No, it's too hard. That's why I always just recommend making that your enjoyment for the week. Like so for instance, when I'm really on my shit, I'll eat my cheat meal on Sundays and go all out. Like I'm for sure going to eat. I'm having my dessert. It's great. And then I feel great. Yeah.
Sundays is my day. I always get pizza. I always get a pizza on Sunday, but I've transitioned to the thin crust pizza, or not thin crust, but thin pizza. Yeah, thin crust.
Yeah, that's a St. Louis thing. That's like all we have. Like, I mean, obviously we have Domino's and stuff, but it's more of St. Louis style is thin crust. Anyone in St. Louis knows what I mean when I say Emo's. So good. Mm. It has
that's the place Carly told me to go to when I
did
was
did you in, go
no I was too exhausted.
Oh my god, I remember you messaging me and you were like, I can't, I'm too tired or something.
Yeah,
it has Provol cheese on it. They melt Provol.
Mm.
It's so like creamy. It's so good. Yes.
You know, I was watching Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, and one of the subjects, one of the, you know, columns of questions was like cheesy, and it was all different types of cheeses and where they come from. Wow. Like, I didn't know that there are like cities named after cheeses named after cities, and that's where they make it.
Wow.
Like places in Oregon, Delaware, like the whole city is known for the cheese city.
Wow.
Crazy.
I love cheese. I don't think I could ever give it up. No.
Yeah.
I've tried the it's like the fake version of cheese from Trader Joe's though, and it's really good.
Fake.
Like it's not real cheese.
Is it made out of soy?
I don't know if it's soy.
Huh.
That's so good, because I try to not eat a ton of cheese just because my stomach is very, very sensitive.
Sensitive, yeah.
Yeah, like I definitely have gut digestive issues if I don't like take my greens and like all that fun stuff. So I like try to sometimes try it out, and the Trader Joe's ones is good. It's almond cheese. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
The texture is nice. The flavor is good. It's not obviously as good as cheese, but same difference.
You know, I just bought, damn it, what's it called? I don't have a picture of it. I got it from Costco. I put it on my story today.
Oh.
It's because I've had the super green, you know, the it's basically a bunch of greens that are ground up.
Green powders. Yeah, superfood.
Yeah, like, and you put it, you shake it, but and that's good. But this one, it's like, it's not only some vegetables, but it's tons of like berries, fruits, like tons of stuff.
Yeah.
And it tastes amazing. Like it tastes like blueberry.
Oh, wow.
I need to look at it. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Because I use two different ones from First Form. I use the super greens that you're talking about. And then they also have a reds version. It's called OptiReds. And that one's more for your immune health. So it's more actually based on your cardiovascular system versus the greens, which is more digestive. It also has immunity too.
Yeah, because of plant cellulose, we get it, like, we don't digest it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mix both of those together, and it kind of tastes like a pomegranate.
Isn't that crazy that like we eat salads not because it has, well, it has nutrients, but like flavonoids and stuff, but we eat it. Well, we don't know why we eat it, but we eat it because it helps us digest food.
Yeah.
So
because we're eating something to help digest something.
Yeah, because the body, our human bodies, we can't digest plant cellulose.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like a fiber kind of thing. It's crazy.
It's so interesting. I wonder, it's just, I can't imagine like back in the day when no one told us what we were supposed to do. Just like being like, I wonder if this berry is going to kill me, and like eating it, and it could be poisonous, but like, F it, someone has to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's going deep again, but that's one of the reasons why humans survived. Because we can pass down knowledge to the next generation.
Yeah.
Like drawing. So we can survive longer and learn more stuff. Like, this is why tales, before there was writing, you'd have stories. These stories were like, this is what not to do.
Yeah.
Like Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, that's a great example. That's a story
that they would tell kids, don't go
don't
to
tell stories and
yeah, like lie. Don't go to a stranger's house.
Yeah.
Or don't mess with, you know, with wolves and stuff. That these stories are made to help them survive. That's the theme of today's episode.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah. So there's actually something really, really cool. I don't know how much you study octopuses or octopi, whatever.
No, I just like to eat them.
Oh, my gosh. this is insane. So we have one heart, all right? If our heart, something happens, whatever, we die. Octopus, no, multiple. Octopus can regenerate tentacles.
Do they have eight hearts?
I forget. I think like four or something like that.
They have eight tentacles, sorry.
And they have, like, multiple brains. Their brain, it's just, they're wired. This is kind of creepy, but, like, or trippy, but they are much more suited for survival than us humans. We're weak. We're the wrong, we don't do things right. Anyway, octopuses, they can crush their body, or they can squeeze their body. As long as their head fits into something, their whole body can fit in it. They're incredibly smart. There's a YouTube video, I'll link it if I can in the description or whatever, but in Spain, they took a bunch of octopuses and they put them into a lab to test them. The octopus started playing tricks on the scientist. Like, they literally started playing tricks. They would get out of, they figured out how to get out of their tank, go into other tanks, hang out with their friends or with the other octopus, and then come back in their tank. Their memory is insane. They would put it through these mazes, and if it goes through once, it learns how to do it over again.
Wow. I had no idea they were that smart.
It's creepy. They're like little aliens. They're like aliens, basically.
They look like aliens. They're like actually scary.
Way more agile than us. The problem with octopus is that they're a very solitary animal. The children never see the mother. The mother leaves the eggs and it leaves.
Oh, wow.
Never sees it. They don't interact with anyone. So they don't get to...
They don't attach themselves. Cause
yes.
Yeah. They were never taught that.
Never. And they don't leave information to their kids, their offspring.
Yeah.
So whatever that octopus learns while it's alive, it doesn't really pass that down to the next generation. Yeah. So what they did is they had like a wharf, you know, like an area where there was no predators for octopuses. So they were living a lot longer and they were starting to... And they put them together. Within like three generations, these octopuses were getting out of the water, walking around, hanging out, going back in the water. They're getting smarter and smarter. So they were like, holy crap, like this is scary.
They're like, we've created monsters, actually.
Yeah, and they're super smart.
Wow.
Super smart. I mean, they're playing tricks on humans, you know?
I need to look some of these bad boys up when I get home.
Yeah, I'll send you this. I'll send you the video of octopuses. I'm shook. So if we don't survive as humans, like let's say we all kill ourselves.
I'm gonna be an octopus.
Yeah, if we all kill ourselves with nuclear war, guess what? In a million years, octopus might be the one that actually, the octopi might be the ones that survive, and they are the species that are gonna go.
They're gonna start walking.
Explore other planets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
And you always wonder, like, there's certain animals that you always, like, wonder, like, what are you here for? Like, I think some just obviously recreate and create other crazy things and all that stuff, but, like, what in the heck do octopuses do? Do you know what they do for our planet?
They just survive, just like
Earth.
They're
just here to be creepy.
Yeah, the only reason why we got lucky as humans is because, number one is we figured out, hey, if we live in groups, we can divide all the work.
Yeah.
So it's like you having to go try to hunt down a bison by yourself
every
day. You
can do it together.
Yeah. And then they divided labor.
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna prepare the food. I'm going to catch the food. The division of labor is huge.
Yeah.
Next is dogs. Like there are many.
Oh, I love dogs.
There are many sociologists that believe that if we didn't domesticate dogs, we never would have survived. Because it allowed us to sleep longer. Think about it. What do dogs do when someone's coming? They're watchdogs. So they allowed us and they helped us hunt. They kept us safe. Like, it's insane what
they
dogs
do
differ
for
humans.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I miss my doggy. He's the man.
And they were bred from wolves.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's so funny seeing dogs that still look like wolves, but they're dogs.
Yeah.
Like, huskies are so pretty.
They actually, yesterday, they found that what they think is the earliest domesticated dog. Actually, this happened yesterday. They found some bones from it, and it was about 10,500 years ago.
Wow.
Imagine that, domesticating wolves back then.
Oh.
You know what I always think about? This is, getting deep again. But anyway, this is what we do.
It's what we do here.
I was thinking about, before we had cars. Like, what did we ride?
Before cars?
Like, how do we transport ourselves before cars?
Well, bike? Or
yes, well, yeah.
Bike,
before
walking,
that, horses,
the horses.
Before that, walking.
Yeah.
So think about it. If you wanted to go anywhere before there was a car, what's the fastest way that you could get there? A horse.
Yeah.
But before there were horses, before we knew how to ride horses, you just had to walk.
Yeah.
You literally had to walk. So your whole life was spent in like a few mile radius.
Yeah, you can't walk, or at least get far. I don't know.
Yeah, if you ever read like old like Jane Austen or like any of old English books, even like Alexander Dumas or when they wrote books when there was no there were horse and carriages back then, but it cost money to have a horse. So the poor people didn't have horses.
Right.
They talk about they had to go walk to where they were going to go, and it would just take them days of just walking there. Like imagine that. So what I think about is who the hell was the first guy, first human, to look at his buddy, look at a horse, and say, "Hey, you know what? I think I could ride that thing." Like there was
so
one guy
so
who did
random.
That. So, but imagine
how
that one person changed the whole human race.
Especially because that's how we were able to start actually communicating via letters and things like that. With at least long distance. Like I know they probably still had mail people, but. Crazy.
Yeah, because so what happens, that happened in Mongolia. They call it the steppe, the Mongolian steppe. And Genghis Khan was the first invader to use horses because that's where they figured out how to ride horses for the first time. So imagine you're an army and you've only seen wild horses and these guys coming charging
on horses.
You. On horses. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, you're like, we are not prepared for this.
Imagine. That's like us fighting someone with spaceships and lasers and telepathy.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Like, what the? How am I going to compete? And that's why Genghis Khan was Genghis Khan.
Wow.
So some crazy Mongolian guy in Mongolia was like, hey, they're probably drunk off like eating like apples or something or potatoes. They're like, hey,
like apple cider.
Let's go ride that thing. Yeah. Crazy, yeah. Everything about riding horses to us is just so natural. Oh, cool! You ride horses; it's cool. But
wow.
The first guy,
You always make me think about these things crazy.
Yeah, this is why when I go to parties and you just see me like staring off in the distance, this is what I'm thinking about.
He's like, how did horses get around? And someone's like, you good? You're like, yes, I'm great. I'm going home now.
Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's my favorite scientist, amazing, amazing scientist. He says that they asked him, what do you think the most important thing a human has ever done? And he goes, probably the first person to ride a horse.
Yeah.
Because that changed everything. That changed, before you had horses, you couldn't go to just other villages easily and exchange cultures. The culture was just confined to their little area. You have horses, you start
mixing
in
the cultures too.
Huh?
Then you also can mix the cultures too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You start intertwining, and then what do? You talk about what you know. Like, we do this. Oh, we do this. Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
And then they teach.
Exactly. Exchanging information.
Yeah. So cool.
That was the earliest form of text messaging. You just got to go and talk to people.
Wow, we actually talk face to face. This is new.
Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, I was getting really deep. There's plenty of more of that to come in future episodes, but
plenty, for sure.
But yeah, I'm glad we did this, Maddie. What are your thoughts? Do you have Maddie's Corner this weekend or this week, or is this
not this one? Because I think we're playing catch up, but next time I will.
Oh yeah.
Next time I'll get something really nice. Because last time we talked about bananas, right?
Yeah, bananas. Yeah,
that episode, nannies. So next time I want to do, for one of the episodes, I want to teach a little more about how to read labels. I think a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Oh, that's important.
That's what I was going to maybe do for this one, but that'll kind of take an extra second. So I think next time what we'll do is we'll talk labels, and then I'll come up with some fun stuff like, did you know? And also, if any of you guys have any suggestions on topics for me and him to talk about, especially nutrition for me, got you. Just let us know below.
Holla.
Holla.
Holla at your boy and girls.
Yes.
All right. Well, this has been great talking to Maddie, as always. Yes. Great episode. You want to say anything before we get out of here?
I don't think so. Just have a great week, or I don't know when we're posting this, but whatever. Have a great day.
Have a great day from the moment you hear this until you go to sleep.
Yeah, until you shut your eyes.
All right. All right. Well, until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Peace out, guys.